We want to consider today God's use of music. God's use of music. The thing that I want to share with you is for you to understand more about music rather than just the fact that you might enjoy listening to it. There is a good and a wrong use of music that we'll get into. But God's use of music, in 2 Kings 3:15, we read, "Now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." We'll get back to this passage in a moment. But I want you to see that when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon this man. God has given us music for His good pleasure. This is why He gives everything, because He wanted to do that. And He intends that we use it for godly purposes, as He intends all of His good gifts to be used. So as with Elisha in our text, so music has been associated with other prophets. This was Elisha, but when Samuel took Saul aside and revealed that the God of Israel had selected him to be the first king, Samuel told Saul that he would meet a band of prophets. I think it's funny to call it a band. It just means a group. But in fact, here's the verse, 1 Samuel 10:5. "After thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery," that's a stringed instrument, "with a tabret," basically a tambourine, "and a pipe," like a flute, "and a harp," the lyre, handheld harp, "before them, and they shall prophesy." So they came singing and playing and then prophesying. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, God worked in his heart until finally he came to the place where he said, "What I understand of Roman Catholicism," and he was had been a monk, an Augustinian monk for quite a while, he said, "it doesn't seem to fit what I read in the Scripture, that the just shall live by faith." And he brought us out of that. But one of the great things that he did was to use music to reach the hearts of people. He said, "Music is the art of the prophets, the only art that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents God has given us." In your hymnals in front of you, you don't need to take it out, but I checked the authors in Our Majesty Hymnal, and just the A's here, there was Alfred Henry Ackley, 1887 to 1960, was a Presbyterian preacher who wrote 268, "He Lives, I Serve a Risen Savior." James Waddell Alexander, 1805-1859, was a Presbyterian minister. He wrote number 241, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded." Henry Alford, 1810 to 1871, he was a New Testament Greek scholar. If you study the Greek, you're going to end up reading what Alford said about this and that. He's also a preacher. He wrote 493, "Come, ye thankful people, come." Music pouring from these men's heart. Cyril Ellington, 1872 to 1955, a chaplain to King George V, he wrote 272, "Good Christians, Now Rejoice and Sing." Henry Francis Lyell, 1793 to 1847, Scottish preacher, wrote 29, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." And George Atkins died in 1827, evidently don't know his birth. He was a Methodist pastor. He wrote 67, "Brethren, We Have Met to Worship." Wonderful songs. And there was music in their hearts that they wanted to share with others. The reason for this association of music and the prophets and the work of God, I think, is made clear when David was asked to play for the older King Saul, who was being oppressed by an evil or a harmful spirit. Saul was being oppressed because he was disobedient to God. He was doing his own thing, his own way, wanting to emphasize himself. And before David was known as a giant killer, before he was known with his prowess in slinging stones, he was known as a great handheld harp player. I want you to notice what happened, 1 Samuel 16:23. It came to pass, when the evil, the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, and look at the result. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I want you to notice the three results here. And this is wisdom. This is something that you'll be glad to know. The three results, it says Saul was refreshed. This is to breathe easily, to be relieved. It's in the Hebrew there, in the completed action. So it was a work that completely relieved him. This is the physical response to music. We feel that. We feel the physical response. Then he was well. This is to be glad, to be joyful, to be better, also in the completed action. This is the mental response. It affects how you think. And then the evil spirit departed. This is the harmful spirit was removed. Again, completed action, entirely removed. This was the spiritual response. I want you to see that it is good not only for stomping your foot and clapping your hands, but also to make you think better and has a definite spiritual result. Singing is connected to being filled with the Spirit. Now, being filled means being controlled. Ephesians 5:18 and 19, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. If you are filled with wine, it affects the way you think and feel and everything. You become drunk, you see. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. And what seems to be in Paul's mind here, the thing that happens when you're filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. This isn't singing a solo in front of a group. This is speaking to yourselves in psalms. Those are the songs that are either words of Scripture, but the word was used to refer to that which speaks of the Scripture language. Then hymns, an old Greek word, an ode to a god. This is a hymn is one of those that speaks of the attributes of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That's a hymn. And spiritual songs. These are the songs of our testimonies. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Spiritual songs. He says, so speaking to yourself, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The songs that we learn of God from godly people for godly purposes is to be taken into the heart, to be thought of and treasured and used for your own spiritual development. Singing is also connected to peace in the heart. Colossians 3:15 and 16, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Not just happen once in a while, but be the dominant rule. To the which also you are called in one body, you're called to peace, and be ye thankful. So he continues dealing with the peace of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now this is a ministry not just to yourself, but a ministry that you share with others, as it was shared with us today. Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. So this is how you are singing, and this is an actual singing, not just to yourself. So let me share with you just a few thoughts. To the Christian, allow godly music to calm your heart before God. I have a wonderful example. I say that because God gave it to us. learn from Elisha. This is where I got my text, but I want to tell you the fuller story. Elisha, you remember he was the disciple of Elijah, and now Elijah going on to be with God in heaven, and Elisha being the prophet. He was not a dainty man. He was a farm worker and a tough guy before he was a prophet. And, you know, these guys, they just told what God said. And said, you're a sinner and you need to change. And he was talking to the king. You know, I mean, they were just fearless people. So in 2 Kings 3:11 to 15, Jehoshaphat, one of the kings, said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord, a prophet of Jehovah, that we may inquire of the Lord by him? There he came into a problem. They're going to have a battle here, and it looks like they're going to die. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Poured water means when Elijah needed to wash his hands, it was Elisha that was there. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king of the southern kingdom, and they were in the northern kingdom here, which was an ungodly king. So they find Elisha, and Elisha says to the king of Israel, to the unbelieving king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? He just has not a very gracious manner here. Oh, thank you for coming to visit me, a lowly person. You're the king. No, he says, what have I got to do with you? I'm a person of God, and you're a person that's not of God. Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. Go away. And the king of Israel said, No. For the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hands of Moab. We're going to get killed here. Things are bad here. We need to find out what God has intended. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of this other king, King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look toward thee. Wouldn't even look at you, nor see thee. Wouldn't pay any attention to you. But now bring me a minstrel. So he was all upset. He was all worked up. He was agitated in his heart. He says, so bring me somebody to play for me. And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, that's when the hand of the Lord came upon him. You've been there. You know what that means. Things are going bad. You've stumbled about something, and it's just a problem. You don't know what to do. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like this. You don't feel like that. You don't feel like listening to a sermon. You don't feel like opening the Bible and reading. You just don't feel like it. Well, play some godly music. Now, you maybe can't sit down like my wife does and play it on the piano, but you can play it on your record player or your disc player or find it online. And just sit there and let God's music. I'd stay away from hard rock at that point. That's enough to put you on edge anyway. But listen to God's music and calm your spirit. When the minstrel played, understand that Strong's definition of played in verse 15 means particularly to play or strike the strings, to play a stringed instrument. And it says nothing about singing. Now, it doesn't mean he couldn't sing or he didn't sing, but it's not stated. My point is, it was the music. It was when he played those strings that the hand of the Lord came. The vast array of musical instruments used in the temple worship indicates that the purpose was in the melodies themselves and not in the words alone. There are people who try to excuse their excuse of sensual, sexually implicit music that just beats a drum through your body, and say there's nothing wrong with it. You can't show me anything in the Bible that's wrong with it. Well, the point here is that there is a message in the music. There is music that I hear that makes me laugh. Not with words, not a person singing a joke. It's just music that just sounds funny. There is some violin music from Vienna that I've heard that made me want to cry. I didn't even know why I wanted to cry. It just was sad music. It just pulled on my heartstrings. There is a message in the music. Now, you can argue that if you want, but just check the businesses that hire music to make people want to buy more, you know, music that urges them to do all kinds of things, that speaks to them psychologically. Argue this with them. Now, here's wisdom. The rhythmic beat in the music speaks to the physical, while the harmonies, the combined harmonies, that speaks to the intellect. And the melody, that part that you would sing if you were singing the song, speaks to the spirit, to the real you inside. By emphasizing one of those over the other, a piece of music will affect people differently. If you could imagine, we at the end of the message, we bow, we pray, we invite people to come forward and make a decision for Christ. What if we said, now bow as we hear the theme from Jaws? Yeah. It would make you feel a little differently, you know. You just want to maybe run out and instead of come forward to God. It's just the wrong kind of music. What if you said, let's sit now meditating on the Word of God during a Sousa march? Bum, bum, pa-da-pa, pa-pa. Not a meditating thing. See? This will affect you physically, and you want to be affected spiritually. Rock and roll is so dominant today because it appeals to the senses, to the sensual. Classical music is primarily known for its interplay of harmonies. And so it speaks very much, appeals to the intellect. I was watching an instructional video, and when it came to at the end, it repeated how to do these things, and it played Baroque classical music, because the studies had been done that when you were listening to that, it aided you in remembering the physical memory of doing it. I didn't say that. I mean, I did say that, but I'm telling you that's what they said. And then sweet hymns that we can sing that especially emphasizes the speaking to our spirit. This is why perhaps the most spiritual songs are those sung with accompaniment, with rhythm, and all that. Somebody said, oh, you people don't want rhythm, you know, but God made our body with a rhythm inside. There was a heart beating. And my comment was, yes, but if I could stand back here and hear your heart beating, there's something wrong with you. There is a rhythm there. There is a beating there, but it is foundational, it is subliminal. It is not the thing that speaks to us most. So to the Christian, I would say, watch carefully what you allow to affect your life. I went down to Bob Jones University, and I hadn't heard a whole lot about music and why it was good or bad or indifferent or whatever. And they said we couldn't listen to rock and roll while we were there. And I thought, well, you know, it's just them, it's the way they are. And then I was out in town one night trying to witness to people and pass out tracts. I never forget this, because what was going on here was that I started walking across the street, and there was a record company that was big back then, and they were blasting this rock and roll music in a loudspeaker out the front. And I fell into kind of an easy rhythm of walking. And as I was walking, there was a pretty girl that walked by. And I remember I just stopped and I looked and watched her and I said, what's going on with me? I'm here to try to win people to Christ. And I'm looking at this woman's walking, you know. And then it dawned on me. I was being spoken to by the music that was emphasizing the sensual in me. Let me speak secondly to the non-Christian. Let me ask you to allow God's music to reach your heart for God. Man is made of the body. He's made of the soul. The soul is the mind, the will, the emotions. Every person has a living, breathing soul within them. That's the who you are inside. That's what makes you not an animal, not a turtle, not a worm or something, but a thinking, feeling person. And the music can reach your heart. It can speak to your emotions. Let me give you some songs, and I won't be singing it to your benefit. I will be reading it as poetry. But these were written for you. This was to reach your heart. And let me ask you to listen. A Sinner Like Me by Charles J. Butler. I was once far away from the Savior, as vile as a sinner could be. I wondered if Christ the Redeemer could save a poor sinner like me. I wandered on in the darkness, not a ray of light I could see. And the thought filled my heart with sadness, there's no help for a sinner like me. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice sweetly whispered to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like me. I listened, and lo, 'twas the Savior that was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, save a poor sinner like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus, and oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with his praises for saving a sinner like me. No longer in darkness I'm walking, for the light is now shining on me. And now unto others I'm telling how he saved a poor sinner like me. And when life's journey is over and I, the dear Savior, shall see, I'll praise him forever and ever for saving a sinner like me. What a wonderful story of testimony. Again, Have You Any Room for Jesus, written by D.W. Whittle. He asked the question, have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin? As he knocks on your heart's door and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? The refrain says, room for Jesus, King of glory, hasten now his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ, the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room and time now give to Jesus. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and the Savior's pleading cease. Again, Look and Live by William A. Ogden. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. This message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. I've a message full of love, hallelujah. A message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above, hallelujah. Jesus said it, and I know 'tis true. Life is offered unto you, hallelujah. Eternal life thy soul shall have. If you'll only look to him, hallelujah. Look to Jesus who alone can save. I will tell you how I came, hallelujah, to Jesus when he made me whole. 'Twas believing on his name, hallelujah, I trusted and he saved my soul. Again, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, by Harry Dudley Clark. Into my heart, it's a plea, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. What a prayer. Again, almost persuaded by Philip P. Bliss. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. O wanderer, come. O be persuaded, Christ never fails. O be persuaded, his blood avails, can save from every sin, cleanse you without within. Will you not let him in? Open the door. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Be now persuaded, O sinner, hear. Be now persuaded, Jesus is near. His voice is pleading still. Turn now with heart and will. Peace will your spirit fill, O turn today. Perhaps one of the strongest I've ever heard was God's Final Call by John W. Peterson. Listen to the warning. Someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation true. This could be it, my friend, if you but knew. God's final call. God's final call. How can you live another day in sin, thinking someday with Christ you will begin? Or will you hear above the world's loud din God's final call? God's final call. If you reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace. All hope will then be gone, and doom you'll face. Oh, hear his call, God's final call. Let me mention then to everyone, use godly music to direct you to spiritual things. Saved and unsaved, let godly music turn your thinking, your life, your direction into spiritual things. Charles Wesley wrote so many of the words of the songs that we have in our hymnal, a great godly man. He speaks of this thing about music. He says, listed as enlisted, listed into the cause of sin. Why should a good be evil? Music, alas, too long has been pressed to obey the devil. Drunken or lewd or light, the lay, the song, flow to the soul's undoing. Widened and strewed with flowers, the way down to eternal ruin. I want you to know that God invented singing. In Job 38, the first part of verse 4 and verse 7, speaks of the creation and the angels, what they were doing. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's the context. Verse 7, when the morning stars sang, stars and angels are both the host of heaven. They seem to be interchangeable concepts here. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Where did the angels learn to sing? They were made that way. You see, they were made grown up. There are no little baby angels growing up and playing at home with Mama Angel. They were singing. God sings. I hope you haven't missed this verse. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest or be silent in his love. And he will joy over thee with singing. Can't wait to hear that. Suppose it's a big bass voice. I don't know. God also invented musical instruments. You say, God? Yeah, with the things he was creating. Part of the angels had the ability of singing, but one of them had musical instruments. Ezekiel 38:13, speaking to the devil, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Yeah, we remember that story. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, that's like the tambourine, and of thy pipes, perhaps the flute, was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. The devil has a musical component. Man then followed with other instruments very early, the first generations after Adam, Genesis 4:21. And his brother's name was Jubal. I think that's part of why we have jubilation and all this type of thing. But Jubal, he was the father of all such as Handel, the harp, and organ. This is just amazing to me that early they developed these wonderful songs and ability to sing. My great hero, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, preacher in England 100 years ago, he quoted Martin Luther. We already mentioned how Martin Luther was thrilled about the use of music. We sing, "A mighty fortress is our God," written by Martin Luther. "Ein feste Burg ist unser Gott." In German, of course, he wrote it. So this is Charles Haddon Spurgeon quoting Martin Luther, and then Spurgeon will have a word to say about that. But here's Luther. "One of the finest and noblest gifts of God is music. This is very hateful to the devil, and with it we may drive off the temptations and evil thoughts." Speaking from experience, wasn't he? "After theology, I give the next place and highest honors to music. It has often aroused and moved me so that I have won a desire to preach." Then he said, "We ought not to ordain young men to the office of preacher if they have not trained themselves and practiced singing in the schools." He was that adamant. Spurgeon says, if I might, Spurgeon was quick to add, "That's pretty strong. I fear many would not have preachers if they must first have been singers. Heard some preachers that wouldn't have a very good singing voice. I've heard some that had great singing voice. So let me close with this thought. As I've shown from our own hymnal, and many preachers have indeed taken pen in hand to write poems that became hymns, or perhaps just wrote hymns outright, let us use music as God uses it. He gave it to us as a gift. Let us use music as God uses it. Let's pray. Father, you've given us an opportunity to hear music, to sing music, to be involved with music, and to hear about its connection with you and the Word of God. Father, it's no surprise that music can affect us because you built it within us. But Father, we may choose that which emphasizes the physical or the mental and physical and leave out that which speaks to the spirit. To sing of things that are improper, to sing of messages that are improper, we ask you would deliver us from this, for it will move us beyond our ability to understand. But Father, that we might hear the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs echoing in our hearts to encourage us in a time of discouragement, to make us bold in times of fear. We ask you would build our faith by having us sing of your strength to us. with heads bowed and eyes closed. It may be that music is a problem for you in that you have the music you like and nobody's going to tell me any different. But you know, as I found that time long ago, walking across the street, that it affects us more than perhaps we're willing to admit. If it leads us in the wrong direction, it's just wrong. Why will we persist in encouraging that which is leading us in the wrong direction? Let's turn to God's use of music. Secular, sacred, use it as God wants us to. If that's your concern, if that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up. Say, just pray for me. Help me to get this concept, to build it deep in my heart, that I want to use music in God's way. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Let me pray for you. I need to change. Yes, amen. Thank you. Father, we ask that you might school us in your word to understand the interplay between our spirit and music. Help us then to grow in grace and faith and the knowledge of your grace and mercy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.